So welcome to the next episode of 365.live. I'm your host, Mark Vale, and today I have with me John Tracy from Starleaf. Hi, John.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Not bad. Yourself?
Yeah, doing well.
Cool. So, Starleaf not been on the show before. So, can you tell me a bit about Starleaf, what you do, what where you operate in, which space, etc.?
Sure. So, Starleaf is a cloud video communications provider. Now that covers a whole spectrum of things underneath it, but basically we are to video conferencing what the PSTN is to voice. Right. So if you think about how you make a telephone call, you never worry about what the other person has. If I call you and you're using a Windows phone and I'm using a desk phone, it just works. And that's exactly what Starleaf provides. It's a cloud that takes care of all of the difficult bits in the middle, all that interoperability, all of that. How do you make systems from vendor A connect to vendor B?
Cool. And is that purely video or is that voice as well? If you work in the enterprise voice space?
Yes, we do support voice. It's not our major focus at this moment in time. Voice is a relatively simple and solved problem. There's lots of people out there doing it. But the interoperability of video has been something that's been a real problem in this industry for a long time.
And why is that, do you think?
It really comes down to two things. There, in the early years of video, when I say this, I'm talking the sort of early 90s, when we used the telephony network, and particularly the ISDN to do video, the standards weren't very well defined. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved to the internet era, the standards got carried across and sort of adapted for the internet. And really what you ended up with was the worst of all situations. You ended up with lots of different vendors trying to conform to a badly written standard and ended up with systems that didn't really work well with each other.
Yeah. So there's a space in there for something in the middle to try and mesh all this together to make it work as one.
Yeah, because I've been in video for over 20 years now, and much as I find it incredibly interesting to talk about video codecs and algorithms, you know, your average user who's running into a conference room because they're 5 minutes late for their meeting really couldn't care less about it. What they want to do is walk in, press a button, and know with 100% certainty that it will connect to the other end. Yeah. So they can do whatever they need to do and get out.
Yep. I mean, that's the nirvana for every user, right? So they don't want complications or technical, you know, follow step 1 to 15 to get this to work. You know, so that's cool. So what options do Starleaf offer customers if they've got, third-party room systems and they've got Skype for Business and they want to connect the two?
So we operate a platform we call the Open Cloud. And Open Cloud is exactly that. It's open to all different vendors. So a lot of platforms you'll see today, going back to the interoperability issues, where the vendor will say, you know, use our platform, use our cloud, use our endpoints, and everything will work.
Yeah.
Well, Starleaf takes a different view of that. As I say, we're trying to become the PSDN for video. So we say, bring whatever you've got. It doesn't matter what vendor they are, what manufacturer, what version of software you're running. Mm-hmm. So long as they've been made in the last 10 years, you can connect them to our cloud, and then our cloud takes care of all of that interoperability for you. So you can be using your Skype for Business client on your desktop. I could be using a room system from Starleaf. We make our own, but also from Polycom, from Cisco, from Lifesize, from pretty much any manufacturer of room-based video conference systems. And I can connect them seamlessly together. So the user just dials you. They don't worry about what it is you've got. They just dial your address and the call connects.
Yeah, cool. And so Skype meetings have got a few additional features. So when you look in the sort of the web conferencing type features, such as desktop sharing and all, PowerPoint sharing and attachments and what have you. Do you take care of all that as well?
Absolutely. So the interoperability of the video stream is only one part. So there's really three components to any call. There's voice, video, and there's data. And so we take each of those individual streams and we'll transcode them into, and transcode's a word that we use in the industry and most end users don't know what it means, but we convert it into the appropriate format for whatever the receiving device is. So if you're using your Skype for Business client on your desktop, you'll receive a stream of a PowerPoint presentation in the appropriate format. But you won't ever have to worry about that. You just place the call, share your content, and it all connects and works seamlessly.
Okay, cool. I mean, do we need any on-premises stuff to make it work, or is it purely just connect to the internet and away you go?
So it's purely connect to the internet. So the cloud takes care of what used to be a very, very expensive on-premise deployment. So even if you go back 5 years ago, you'd be looking at spending probably somewhere in the region of about £100,000 on servers to put into your data center to take care of all of this. Now you just register your endpoints to the cloud, you place calls, the call connects seamlessly.
Yeah. And where's your cloud located? Is it global or is it regionalized?
So it certainly is global. We're in 12 different sites around the world, pretty much spread equally. So four in North and South America, four in Europe, and four in Asia. And that's growing quite rapidly now. We're adding about 1 to 2 points of presence a year. Mm-hmm. But we're growing ahead of our capacity needs at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big questions I've got, and I'm sure other people potentially looking at certain solutions, or cloud solutions, I'd say, is the potential bandwidth of this, the hit that they need to provide on their internet connection. What do you recommend? Because obviously we're going to be sending the video stream out and you're going to be sending one back. So there's going to be whatever bandwidth it is, it's going to be double almost.
Yeah, so the way the calls work, if you think about a traditional video call, the media is usually something what's called peer-to-peer. So yeah, you will try and connect the devices together. But that only works, and that's one of the reasons video hasn't scaled. So in the cloud architecture, it's very much like a PBX. Everything connects up to the cloud. Mm-hmm. So all calls, even you to me, go up to the cloud, get transcoded, come back down again. So even if you're calling into the room next door to you, you're still going up to the cloud and coming back down. Yeah. So there will be, obviously, there'll be a hit on your external bandwidth. But in the modern world, these calls are, you know, they're 1.5 meg will give you a good high definition video call. So it's not huge. It's certainly not onerous to most organizations that will have a large connection to the outside world.
No, not sure. I mean, what they've got to work out is how many simultaneous rooms they've got running at the same time. So, and then work that calculation. I'm guessing that we use this vendor of the room systems calculations in Skype to figure out that bandwidth as well.
Yeah, and most systems are relatively dynamic. So if you do get to a situation where you've got too many calls going out for your internet connection, the cloud and the endpoints are continually talking. So they'll figure out that, hang on, I'm losing packets here. I need to do something about this. So they'll actually downspeed the call. Now, the user won't need to do anything. They just might notice that the resolution's not quite as crisp as it was a couple of minutes ago, but it'll steal a little bit from each call to allow that extra call to come in.
Yeah. What Skype for Business meeting services does Starleaf offer other than the cloud offering for Interop?
So we've just launched a new service called Starleaf Medley, and this has been quite well received. It is a completely free service that allows you to connect your room-based video conference systems into your Skype meeting. So, sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And everyone says, did you say free? So I'll come back to that in a moment.
I mean, free did actually get my attention. And I mean, if I can connect my room-based system to Skype for free, then why would I pay for the paid version?
So I'll come back to that in a moment, because that's a good question. But let me tell you how it works first,
okay,
and then I'll explain why there's a premium version. So Starleaf's Medley platform is designed to solve one problem and one problem only. How do I get a call from my room-based video conference system, whether it be Cisco, Polycom, Lifesize, Starleaf, whatever, into my Skype meeting? Now, we're not talking about point-to-point calls here. We're talking about scheduled meetings held on either my Skype server or my Office 365 cloud platform. So the way I would set up the call, I'd open up my Outlook. I would invite a few people to the meeting. So what we say is invite all the people you need and then invite one extra participant, and that's skype@starleaf.com.
Okay.
So you just have to remember that one address, skype@starleaf.com. When you send out the meeting invite, you as the organizer will then receive back, usually within a minute from the cloud, an automated response that says, this is the details of how to join your Skype meeting from your room-based video system.
Right.
You then forward that on to whoever is going to be joining from whatever type of system. Now, there's two things you need to check before you dive into this. One is that your Skype platform must be either open federated or you need to federate with skype.call.sl. This is all on our website, but okay. So you need to federate with our cloud. But if you're open federated, that means that you can call anybody, you're good to go. And you're obviously your room-based system needs to be able to call out to the internet as well.
Right.
So you need to have some form of firewall traversal mechanism set up for your room-based system. If you've got that already, and you can, you're either open federated or you federate with the cloud, it just works. And you seamlessly, at the time the meeting starts, you dial in from your Cisco, your Polycom, your life size, you join the Skype meeting. Now what you'll get in response is the Skype users on the Skype desktop will get the standard Skype experience.
Yep.
So they'll see the film strip across the center of the screen. On the room-based system, they'll get a more traditional video conferencing layout. So they'll get what they're comfortable with, yep. And the Skype users get what they're comfortable with. So everyone kind of wins. So that's the free service. Now, you asked me earlier, why would anyone pay for a premium service? Well, the premium service does all of that, but it actually makes it even easier. So if you remember, I said there's a two-step process.
Yep.
So I have to send out the meeting invite, then get the instructions back, and then forward those on to whoever is doing that. Well, we can actually integrate that in the premium service all directly into one button in Outlook. So you press the button, it will generate the invite, it'll put all the details into that meeting, and it'll send it out.
Yeah.
But that's only the beginning. With our premium services, you actually register your endpoints directly to the cloud. So your room systems will connect to the cloud. All that legacy infrastructure that you've got, your MCUs, your gateways, your firewall traversal servers, all that stuff, you can decommission all of it. So actually, a lot of users find that they pay less to register their endpoints to the cloud than the yearly maintenance costs on all those servers.
Yeah.
So it cuts down on your on-prem infrastructure. It saves you money. But then you get a whole set of other features that come with it. So it's not just about joining a Skype meeting, which is what the free Medley service does. It would allow me to call you directly. So because I'm a registered endpoint, and you may be another company,
yeah.
So I can call to the cloud. The cloud will then place that call to your Skype for Business address. You sitting at your desktop, your Skype for Business client will ring. You answer the call. You're now in a point-to-point call with me, sitting on my Starleaf or my Cisco or my life size endpoint.
Yeah.
And that way you can call anybody, just like you can on the PSTN. You can call anybody irrespective of what platform they're on. So Cisco to Polycom, Polycom to a WebRTC call. Mm-hmm. You know, all these different protocols, all these different platforms, all of a sudden all come together into one simple platform.
Yeah.
We can also push you a directory. So we can give you an address book that syncs up with everybody else in your company.
Okay, that's cool. Do you hook into Exchange Global Address List?
So we can do. We can synchronize. We use an external service called Okta.
Right.
Okta will sync to your Active Directory. So yeah. Basically, take your Active Directory into the cloud, then sync your Active Directory securely back to us. And that way, when you open up your address book on your endpoint, all of your users are all detailed in there.
Yeah, so it's like a third-party sync of the Microsoft
yeah.
world. Cool. I mean, so if I've got a room system and I'm connected to your cloud, and I don't want to make a video call, I want to make a voice call to maybe, I want to dial someone in to the meeting, do I still need my own on-premises gear to do that, or can I make a PSTN call through your cloud as well?
So as a registered user, so when a company sets up their endpoints with Starleaf, yes, you can connect the SIP trunk directly to the Starleaf cloud. And that way you can have telephony lines delivered into the cloud and then sent down to meeting rooms or to endpoints.
Okay.
So yes, that is possible. It is a feature, but it is part of the premium service. It's not part okay. of the free service.
So for the free service, go back to Medley, because I guess people are going to be Googling this like crazy when they figure this out. Do you have to sign up for Medley, or is it just as simple as I could just open up my Outlook invite now, put it in Skype at starleaf.com. If I got that address wrong, correct me. And it'll just work without signing.
So you remember I said it was free. So with all free things, you've got to pay for it somehow. So there is an absolutely colossal sign-up process.
No, right.
I'm joking. There is no sign-up process whatsoever.
What's this advert for 5 minutes? And then answer this survey and take three of these vendor surveys.
Be careful, our marketing team might be listening, but today there is no sign up. So you don't even have to register to use Medley. All you do, open up Outlook, add the address, skype@starleaf.com, your invite. And that's it.
That's awesome, man. So get signed up, get added in. Well, actually, there's no sign up, right?
There's no sign. Now, what we'll do is, so when you by using the service, you're kind of agreeing to our terms and conditions.
But we don't know what they are because we're not signing up.
They're all on the website. You can, when you actually get the email back from us, it will tell you at the bottom a link to them. But basically, all we're saying is, you know, that we'll add you to our marketing database. If you don't like that, you can always unsubscribe. It really is free.
Yeah, cool. And is that for unlimited invites as well?
Obviously, it's for unlimited invites. So, and one of the questions we always get is, well, why is this free? If we can use this unlimited, why would you do this? And the reason is because it's actually your meeting resources that we're using.
Right.
So if you're using an on-premise Skype for Business setup, you know, the meeting is being hosted on your servers. So it's your resources that are being consumed. Yeah. All we're doing is transcoding the inbound stream for you.
Right.
So we can do that, and the cost of compute is so low these days, it really is a negligible cost.
Until half the world decide to use your free service and send you CPUs.
Well, that's a lovely problem to have.
Then you've got to monetize it then, though, haven't you? So.
Well, the good thing is that, you know, what by using the service, what you're telling us is that you have this problem.
Yeah.
And guess what? We have other solutions that will help make that problem easier for you. So it's a win-win for both. We get to know about customers that have this specific problem, and they get to use the service for free.
So, cool. That's awesome. I mean, it really sounds actually quite amazing that a company would offer this type of integration for peanuts. Well, for nothing, for dust. And
I'll take a packet of peanuts then if people are offering. But
dried roast or salted?
It's salted, I think.
Okay.
But it's one of those things in this day and age. When you say something is free, people immediately get suspicious and think, "Really?
Yeah,
Nothing's free anymore?" You know.
Yeah.
But
is this YouTube ad going to pop up in the middle of my video conference?
I can assure you, there are no YouTube ads going to pop up in the middle of the conference. The one thing we would say to people is just give it a go. You know, it is very, very simple to use. It's designed that you really don't have to think about it. Once you've done it once, you'll be able to do it 100 times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it solves a very real problem that people seem to have.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned a while ago video conference rooms that sort of within 10 years of age work with your platform, and it sort of leads me to look towards the future. And when do you think the old technology will just disappear out of the ecosystem and people start moving to more native-based video interop system or video conferencing rooms designed, whether it be Rigel systems where it's cheap, cheerful, or full-on Starleaf, you know, native Skype room systems? When do you think that will happen, where it becomes less of a problem?
So I think we're starting to see that now, and actually Skype for Business was one of the sort of catalysts that pushed that forward. So the traditional video room systems are, they're one of these things. You install one, it sits there for years, it does its thing, and there has to be a good reason to change it.
Yeah.
It's one of those, if it's not broken, don't change it. So, I mean, I see customers regularly with systems in their meeting rooms that are 10, maybe 15 years old. And they work, they use them, they know how to operate it. And there has to be a reason for them to give it up and go to something else. Well, one reason that they do that is native Skype for Business interoperability. They've decided that, you know, this is going to be our communications platform going forward. Whatever we have needs to hook in and be managed as part of that communications platform.
Yeah.
So to deal with that, we at Starleaf actually have a completely separate line of video room systems that are native Skype for Business endpoints. So a bit like the SRS platform that registers directly to Skype, we have our own room systems. But these room systems are really designed for conference rooms that maybe already have a level of integration.
Yeah.
So I was talking to a customer actually only this morning, and he said to me, you know, I said, well, why, you know, have you looked at the SRSs? And he said, yes, but he says, I've spent £20,000 installing ceiling microphones and audio processors and everything in my room, and I'm not giving those up for a USB microphone.
Yeah.
So what he needs is a solution that can leave all of this equipment in place and then plug into it. So that's exactly what Starlink offers, is these room systems that are designed to go into your integrated conference room environment, but be a native part of your Skype for Business deployment.
Yeah, I've been into a few conference rooms that the room is specifically built for the system that's in there. You have the desk and it's all integrated mics on controls on the desk. You've got your boom microphones hanging down. It's a massive investment for companies. So, it's got to get a decent lifespan out of it. So I'm sure there's going to be interrupt for many years to come. In terms of your own room systems that you've got for Skype, why should people look at Starlink's room systems as opposed to, let's say, the more commonly known Polycom systems and the Surface Hub, for instance, right?
I think there's really sort of three categories there. So the Surface Hub being at one end, which is obviously it's more of a collaboration device than it is a video conferencing system. Mm-hmm. So, it's really, I know we've got groups of engineers who would love to have that kind of technology. So that's one category of customer. At the other end, you've got the more traditional video room systems that kind of, they speak the language of video conferencing, the H323 protocol, but then they also speak the Skype for Business protocols. So they kind of sit across that line. The Starlink, what we call our GTM series, they're designed to sit square in the middle between the two. So they are fully integrated room systems. They only speak Skype for Business. So you connect them either directly to your on-prem or to your Office 365, and they are native clients. They get their directories from the Skype servers. They participate in meetings like any other system. But they give you some of the advantages of those other systems. So they give you pan-tilt zoom cameras. Mm-hmm. So in a big conference room, when you're sat 12 rows back, you want a camera with like a 12x digital, 12x optical zoom, so you can see who the person at the back is that's speaking. Or you want, like I said, ceiling microphones or gooseneck microphones in your table. But you might also want to integrate other AV technologies into that platform. So you might have, simple things like I don't think anyone has a DVD player anymore, but you know what I mean. Other AV sources.
VHS, I guess.
I think I might have one of those kicking around.
I've noticed the generation. Is it one Mac at the back? Apple.
Yeah, my Macintosh Classic. But yeah,
can you interrupt that?
Maybe that might struggle. what I should do is put an iPad in that and actually run my Skype Business client on it. But the idea is that you can integrate all of those different pieces of room system technologies that may be specific to the use of the room. I've got a customer I spoke to recently who works in a hospital, and they want to connect the digital microscope and they want to connect the system for viewing X-rays. So these all plug into the back of the codec, and then what we present to the user is a very, very simple user interface. So when you invite that room to a Skype meeting, you walk in, and the only thing you have to do is not rummage around in your email looking for the link or anything like that. You walk in, and the room system is aware of the meeting. There is one button on the screen. Press that button. Join the meeting straight away.
Job done.
Again, you want to share content, press one button.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So, I mean, I haven't heard of – well, the first time I heard of Starlink was at UC Day last year, where I met one of your colleagues, Martin. And I said, wouldn't it be great for you guys to come on the show and just show us your thing? And that sounds wrong. Never mind. Show us what you do. Why is Starlink's name not prominent in the Skype for Business space? When everybody says video interop, they're going to hear Polycom, they're going to hear Pexip, which is kind of the new kid on the block type of thing. Starlink seems to be like number 5 or 6 on Google search for interrupt.
So we are the best kept secret in video conferencing, but we are, and I would say if you take all of the years of experience in video within this company, we probably rank higher than any other. So let me tell you a little bit where the history, where we came from. So back in the early parts of 2000s, there was a company in the video conferencing industry called Codeon.
Okay.
And Codeon produced multi-party conference units, MCUs. So the thing, if you need to get 10 people on a call, the box that sat in your infrastructure. And they revolutionized that market. That market was very, very static and wasn't really growing. And they came out with a device that was so far ahead of what the competition, and the competition at the time was Polycom, was a company called Tandberg, and others were doing. This company revolutionized that. And they were one of the first to the market with a full high-definition MCU. Codeon was purchased by a company called Tandberg, who were the sort of leader at the time in that market space. And Tandberg then got acquired by Cisco.
Yeah.
So you sort of small fish getting eaten by a bigger fish getting eaten by a bigger fish. So the all of the talent from Codeon, after serving out their time in Cisco, left Cisco and started a company called Starleaf. So all of the experience of building these multi-party conference units that have to interoperate with every brand on the planet, all of that knowledge and expertise is what went to found Starleaf. So we've been effectively operating in the cloud since 2013, but we've been growing slowly. We're a UK-based company. We've now got offices in the US, all across Europe, and even out in Hong Kong as well. We're growing very, very rapidly, but we're starting to make our mark, and things like Starleaf's Medley platform is how we're doing that, how we're getting our name out there, saying to people, come and try us.
Have you had, how long's Medley been out?
About 2 weeks now, and we've had hundreds of people trying it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've deliberately, when you do something like this, especially when it's free, you kind of, You don't want thousands of people arriving at your door on day one, but...
Yeah, don't worry, I'm going to blog this right now, and it's going to get read by probably, 2,000 people,
That's absolutely fine. We've had a couple of weeks to sort of nurse it through, but everything looks good. And so we've had... the interesting thing is when you start to see, look at the data of who's using it, you see, obviously, lots of people try it for the first time.
Yeah.
What we're starting to see is the same names coming back. People using it second, third, fourth, and fifth times. And they'd only do that if it was reliable and it was easy to use.
Yeah. I mean, have you had anybody in those 2 weeks actually call you up and say, hey, it's really good and I want to talk to you about the paid version now?
I honestly don't know. I have to go and talk to the marketing team, but I know they are actively pursuing leads that this obviously this is, for us is a lead generation engine. So you know that's what the marketing team are doing. They're following up with people. Like I say, it's a great way for customers to tell us that they have this challenge and they're looking for somebody to help solve it.
Awesome. That's really exciting. I mean, I just realized I'm looking at your name and I'm gonna have to ask, have you got sons called Virgil and Alan?
So my middle brother is called Alan. No joke. I don't have a brother called Virgil. And no, I don't have a brother called Scott either.
But you double up as brains, right? I've heard.
No, I think I'm more Parker than brains.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously, we've got a few more minutes left before we probably have to wrap it up for the day. Is there any other messaging that Starleaf want to send out that we haven't already covered?
Yeah, I would say certainly give Medley a try. If you can't remember the addresses, you know, they're all on the website. Go to starleaf.com, search for Medley. You'll find all the details of how to use that. But you'll also see on our website a sign up for a free trial. So you can actually sign up for a free trial of our cloud platform. You can download and use our software clients. Our software client is a little bit different from the Skype for Business client, does the same sort of thing from a video perspective, but has some other features in it that people might find interesting. Again, the cloud registration for hardware endpoints is a free trial, but you continue to use the software client for free. after that.
And
so it's a, it's a great way to get into video if you don't if you haven't made a choice yet and you just want to try something out, go give it a go.
How long's the trial, just out of curiosity?
It's usually 30 days by default. If people need a longer trial, they can always contact us and we can extend that.
Yeah, cool. And your licensing model for the paid version, is that per endpoint registered?
Yeah. So there's a think of it like a cell phone or a mobile phone registration. You, for every device, you have a connection to the cloud, and that gets you all sorts of features. They're all listed on the website, but it means that we take away all the need to have that on-premise infrastructure.
Yeah. Is it just one license, all you can eat, consume the lot, or is it metered on bandwidth use consumption? And
No. So we really, there's sort of three products. So if you bring your own endpoints, let's say you've got Polycom endpoints, and you connect them to the cloud. So you buy a license per Polycom endpoint, connect them to the cloud, and then you buy, if you want to use our multi-party conferencing platform, you would buy licenses for that. If you want to use our cloud recording platform, you do it. But some customers don't. Some customers say, look, I want to register my endpoints to the cloud. I want to use all the features of interoperability and calling and directories and all that stuff, but I want to use BlueJeans or Zoom or Pexip or somebody else to do my multi-party conferencing. That's absolutely fine. That works just as well.
Cool. And I'm guessing that you work with Skype for Business Online native out of the box, right? It doesn't matter whether I'm on-premise or cloud or hybrid.
No distinctions between the two. It works exactly the same. Doesn't matter what you've got. We've actually got customers that have both. I don't know whether it's a hedge as to one or the other, but they have their sort of corporate employees on premise and their sales guys on Skype for Business Online, and
I've seen that logic. I mean, companies, there's two ways of looking at it, or the companies approach it in two ways, right? They put the sales guys in the cloud. It might be that they just say, well, the sales guys, they just, you know, we'll just mess up their day. If it goes wrong, it doesn't really matter so much. But the serious side of it is that the sales guys are out there to make money. They need to be always on, and the cloud is probably one place where I can guarantee that no matter where there's a connection, it's going to work. You know, it doesn't matter whether I'm in McDonald's Wi-Fi, in the car, or on 4G. I can pretty much guarantee anywhere that I'm going to be connected to the cloud or to Office 365. Whereas on premises, you're putting the risk on yourself rather than risk to Microsoft. So
yeah.
I think as well.
You're using twice the bandwidth if you're doing that. So if your sales guy is calling in, and then the call's got to go back out again, you're sort of doubling up. So yeah, maybe there's a thought around saving a bit of bandwidth as well.
Yeah, but certainly there is an element, especially in the UK, and I see this a lot in my side of Skype. What I do is that a lot of customers just don't want to take that step just yet to go fully cloud and get rid of on-premises Skype. We forget the integrations now with contact centers and what have you. Just purely, I'm not comfortable with moving my voice workload from somewhere I can control the compute all the way up to application to the cloud. And it's a challenge to get over. And I think it's probably going to take longer than Microsoft expected to be perfectly honest, and to build that trust in the cloud, to be honest. But we'll see.
My daughter gave me a very good description of the cloud when we were talking the other day, and she said, oh, that just means it's somebody else's problem.
That's it, yeah.
And I thought, what a wonderful way to say it. You're just absolving yourself of all responsibility for it. Somebody else will deal with it. And for a lot of companies, that's a step they're not willing to make yet. But we're starting to see a lot of companies who you would never have thought would have moved to the cloud. It's starting to become a consideration for them.
Yeah, I mean, it will come. And it's going to move from the small end of the market to the higher end of the market. That's how I see the move going to happen. So like for small, medium businesses, it's pretty much a no-brainer now. But for the larger scale enterprises, obviously they're trialing it, they're dipping their toe in the water. They might try Medley for free, right? You know, see how that works and what have you. And then the migration is going to be slower over a number of years. But no, it's been really a pleasure talking to you, John. Really interested and really excited about what Starleaf have to offer. And I'm definitely going to try that invite after this meeting to see what I get back. I mean, I don't have a room system in my house that I can try it with, but I can see the experience from a Skype site. So that's cool. Thank you for spending the last half an hour, 40 minutes with us, and it's been a pleasure.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Mark. Go and try it out and let me know what you think.
Will do. Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.